Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 666. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free. And remember, this program number 666. I've got songs, I've got letters, and I've got also a fantastic message from the Word of God, from God Himself. But right now, let's pray. Father, anoint this program, anoint me, anoint everyone that's on the program that has anything to do with it, and anoint the people out in radio land where they can receive, to be able to receive, rebuke the darkness that's around them, rebuke the cobwebs in their head, rebuke every satanic thing that has ever had them bound and has them bound right now, Lord. Come against Satan that has the world bound in the mighty name of Jesus. Close every door to Satan and open up every door for us to glorify you, Father. And that the souls in the world will be saved and the church, your body, your bride, the new Jerusalem will be strengthened. Lord, I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, one of the songs that Susie used to love, and she would sing it and have everybody sing it in every service, and I really want the people at our church to begin singing it again, and that is, "The King is Coming." And here's one of the best renditions that I've ever heard by Anthony Berger. He's now deceased. Fantastic piano player. And so, you know, you can sing along with this. It's the Gaithers along with them. And here it is. "The King is Coming." Yes, the King is coming. That's what the Lord told me in the office around almost 44 years ago. He told me that, stand upon my feet and tell the people in this room about Jesus and that he's coming back to earth again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in God, but that really woke me up. And he shut my ears off and talked right through my body. And made me do something that was so embarrassing at the time, to stand up and to mention the word Jesus in a office, a Jewish man's office who was an attorney. And I always wanted people to believe that I was the smartest person on the face of this earth. People were yelling about Brian Epstein being a brilliant person for promoting the Beatles. And so I got a singer that I thought was better than the Beatles. He wrote songs that I thought were equally as good as the Beatles. And I released about seven of them here and there in the United States and in the world, and they all hit number one within just 3 or 4 days. And so I knew what I had, and it was at that meeting where the Lord caused me to just totally not care about hit records or being number one or overpowering Brian Epstein or anybody else in this world. I just wanted to throw in the towel, and I did. And that's it. This next September, that'll be around, it will be 44 years that I've been in the ministry and heading up the Lord's attack on the fallacy in this world. Because, there was some people that are saying that there's not enough affection in my ministry. Ex-members say that they were upset and left because of a lack of affection. Well, the Lord never had any affection or love. Love and affection. Love is keeping God's commandments. And so I've had plenty of affection or love upon people because I'm telling you the truth. And there isn't any greater love than that of a person that will lay down their life and tell people the truth, even though they've been being threatened of being assassinated, and the entire world government is against me. They don't want these things to happen. They don't want the Word of God to hit the street because of the fact that they want to, it's Satan's last attempt to rule the world. He knows it's only going to be for a few hours, a few minutes. And then his soul is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he hates me for saying it. Because that's one thing that Satan hates to hear, is that he's going to hell soon. And it's just my greatest pleasure to remind him about that every day of my life. I do not like Satan. I hate him, just as the Lord tells that we must. And so affection actually is telling people the truth. And if it hurts, that's just too bad. The Apostle Paul is reprimanding the people in Corinth, in the first book of Corinthians. This is chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, these are born-again Christians, but they're not spiritual yet, because they're baby Christians. So if you read this as it reads, that I, brethren, I'm talking to brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual matters, because you're the babies. You can't understand anything any more than a little baby can understand things that you're saying to it. But this is spiritual babies. These are spiritual babies. So I, brethren, I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual matters, but as unto carnal people. You're not spiritual, you're carnal. That's all you think about all day long, is carnal things. You know, people think that it's really love for people to have birthday parties and things, and we do that too. because a lot of people in the churches everywhere are extremely carnal. And so they would think you were evil if you didn't have birthday parties and parties and play things for them to do. And so you provide it to them until they start getting serious with the Lord. So Paul is saying, look at brothers, I'm not able to speak unto you as into deep spiritual matters, but as uncarnal. I have to, you know, because you're carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, you know, babies are carnal. They don't understand anything. They spit up. You have to change their diapers. They're not fully strong. We have to grow in Christ. And the only way we can do that is start putting carnal things away and concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as, say, you can't let your congregation tell you that they are upset because of a lack of affection in the church, because, you know, my name is not Mother Teresa, okay? Where she phonies false love on people. We have, you know, all the documentation on her, on the, how that people that have really known her are upset with her. Not because of the affection, but they say that she was pocketing a lot of money and that she was doing a lot of very strange things that were not spiritual or that God commends or commands people to do from the Bible. Babes in Christ. So verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, because you're babies. You can't choke, push a beefsteak down a baby's throat. People are looking for the wrong kind of love in the wrong kind of places if you're involved with the Lord, because love is the keeping of God's commandments, not lovey and kissy and huggy stuff that you see a bunch of people that have never developed into strong Christians to where they could be filled with meat. I have fed you with milk, because that's all you were able to bear, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. You can't bear being told you can't have a birthday party. What kind of, or you keep running to doctors all the time. You're not spiritual. You're stinking wicked. You don't trust the Lord enough to heal you. So we have vehicles running back and forth to doctors up to millions of dollars a year, because they're carnal. I fed you with milk and not with meat, rough and tough meat. For hitherto you were not able to do it, to bear it. You haven't got enough faith to believe that God is a healer. And so rather than, you know, a lot of people are not as flexible as the Apostle Paul is here, because they say, no, you're not going to a doctor, you have to have faith. Well, Paul knew that you can't put faith in people. And I know the same thing, and so I send people to doctors that don't have any faith, because they could die. And then what would the headline say? Tony Alamo doesn't allow his people to go to doctors or dentists, when in reality we spend millions on that every year for weak people that are not able to bear the fact that by my stripes, Jesus said, the Word of God says, you are healed. You're not able to do that. You're not able to have even any spiritual gifts in the church, because you're babes. You're carnal. And that's what he says. He says, I speak unto you carnal things. Yeah, go to the doctor. Yes, have birthday parties. I've been, if you want to call that affection, I've certainly been affectionate to people for allowing them to have these things. And different foods they have to have, you know, I get it. Some people have not quit smoking yet. There's maybe two of them in the church. And so, you know, allow that to happen there, because you got to be somewhat flexible, even though they're destroying their own bodies. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk. That's all you're able to take. What a boring, boring meal that is. A diet is just milk all the time. That's like J. Paul Getty, I believe it was, or Rockefeller, where that's all they could eat was mother's milk. He recruited people. He had a division in his company that would recruit women to bring their mother's milk in and leave half for their babies and half for this old geezer. And that's all he could, with all of his money, that's all he could eat. And because he didn't have the Lord would have healed him if he did, because the Lord already has healed his people. But you have to have faith enough to believe that. And so a lot of, I've heard of churches saying, no, you can't go to doctors and things and people die. And it really hurts the true Christian churches, because they come up to you and say, do you believe that too, that you shouldn't go to doctors? Well, when they say that, you know you're talking to a carnal person, someone that's possessed with the devil. And so you have to produce the receipts that you have on your books for sending so many people to Little Rock and to Los Angeles for doctors. I've flown people to Los Angeles because they've had things wrong. I've had them taken to a place in New Orleans where this man is supposed to be the best in the world. That's who we send them to, because they're weak. And one of the weak ones just became so weak that she started, I knew that there was something wrong with her, so I sent people into the house that she was staying, one of our facilities, and found a whole half of a garbage bag full of drugs, which were prescription drugs, but I had to put her out of the church because that's going too far. I mean, she had stockpiled them, and she was acting crazy and dizzy, and she couldn't go to help out with work around the place, church. And so, therefore, she was so carnal. She became so carnal that I could no longer keep her in the church, for fear that people in the church would think that they could get by with the same thing. So even though I'm very affectionate, as far as they say I have no affection, that's ex-members. No, what it really was is they left because they wanted to take drugs. They wanted to become homosexuals. They wanted to go out and fornicate, because people in churches everywhere have never conquered the flesh yet. They've never allowed the Lord to take over the flesh. So Paul says, you little nothings yet, you're Christians, you're brothers, so you fed you with milk and not meat, for it, you weren't able to bear it, to receive it. Neither yet now are you able. You're still carnal. Okay, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. What does carnal mean? That means that you're not really spiritual. You're the opposite of spiritual, and so therefore, up to this date, you've never really received the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither are you really wanting to. You're not striving for perfection, as the Bible tells you to do. So you're, to this very day, you're still carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, you envy one another, and strife, you whisper, you backbite, you give, you bring false accusations, these will send your soul to hell. And divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? When it says men, that means as natural men, carnal men, people that are not really born again of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to continue with this message from the Bible. This is the Lord speaking right through the Apostle Paul. And the Lord just would thought that you'd like to know these things, you carnal people. All right, we have some letters, and Sharon, where's the first one from?
Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, I feel pleasure to write you this letter. I'm offering thousands of greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I received the Alamo World newsletters and the Messiah book. I and the members of my family have read through your literature. In the name of our Lord and Savior, you are blessed. You have done according to Nahum 1, verse 15, and Romans 10, verse 15. Your service for the Lord is eternal. Your literature is everlasting and invaluable. I, my wife, and our beloved children are distributing all that you are sending to me. We go to various villages in South India and spread the gospel of peace given by you through your literature. Our relationship must be strong spiritually. I request you to remember me to send your precious literature and holy Bibles to help me spread the gospel of peace. Please put my mailing address on your permanent mail list. Thanking you in the name of Christ, your beloved pastor, Reverend P. Rao from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Yeah, now, well, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Reverend Hagee, their city is being hit very hard by the Lord. Now, he's warning them. He's yet carnal because he's telling people that he's apologizing to the Vatican for saying things that were the truth about them, but now he's saying, no, I just made a mistake. I'm not really a pastor. I say wrong things all the time, and I have to apologize to you Catholic heathen weasels because I want McCain to be president, and I don't want him to lose Catholic votes. So I'm saying that rather than being true to the Lord, he's carnal, and he is undermining the body of Christ. So therefore, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove because the Lord says that. But you can get so wise that you become the serpent. You know, you cannot backtrack. You are jeopardizing your entire congregation, and I don't know how many there are of them. You talk really good, but you say so many false things that you disgust me. All right, do we have another letter?
Yes.
And, you know, the people of that church, they say, oh, well, you know, he said something wrong. That's okay. Well, our pastor or the leader of our church, the Episcopalians, is a homosexual. Oh, so what? After all, you know, in California, they just today made it a rule that people can have same-sex marriages. And they're the homosexuals are just jumping for joy. You think, you know, you're getting by with it here on this earth, but wait till you stand before God. God's going to send you into a burning hell. You think you're having fun? I don't know how anybody could have fun with the same sex, man with a man. I mean, it curls my skin to even think of one man even touching me on the shoulder or something. It's disgusting. And then to think what they do, and they're unashamed because the people of the Lord have... They've gone back on God. They're not preaching the gospel anymore. Here he's apologizing to this homosexual cult. And he's apologizing to this child molesting cult. And he's apologizing to this cult that started every war. The Bible says that it is the mother of every abomination on the face of this earth. And this cult that has caused every war. It's Satan that causes war, folks. And the Bible says that Satan's seat is there in the city of the seven hills and the seven mountains. But you say, oh, well, I mean, we have to forgive people. Well, you can read in the Bible that God is not going to forgive them. And the Bible also tells us that we cannot forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin, and sin can only be forgiven through the faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You people have taken the mark of 666, the mark of the beast. That's what this is, the number of this program, 666. And you people have received the mark of the beast in you by receiving this and jumping for joy. It's just really frightening to see people jumping for joy because they're going to hell. I mean, you feature that. That goes to show how utterly ignorant they are. All right, Sharon, do you have another letter?
Yes, from Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
Okay, let's hear it.
Translated from French. Dear Pastor Lamo, allow me to emphasize one thing that is very important for me and for God, who finally convinced me to tell you about your name. I do not know its origin or what it means, but every time I see this name, Alamo, it reminds me of an alarm, and this name is of capital importance for humanity. For you are the alarm that is alerting humanity of the great despair.
That's absolutely the truth. God has called me like he has called none other, and especially in this day and age, it takes a real strong individual to come against the Goliath of the one world government, the one world cult, and the one world media. And I am just that little kind of David, about much more than David, because he was just battling one giant, and the ones that I'm battling are no giants at all either, because the little boy took him down with one stone. And what I'm doing is fighting the battle for all the phonies that call themselves Christians. And I was just talking to a Baptist today. He is a very good friend of mine. He's been very big in the entertainment industry, in the recording industry. And he said, I told him that this big falling away from the church is happening right now. It looks like a big revival, but actually, it is the very sign, one of the last signs, actually the last sign that the Apostle Paul said would be happening just before Jesus comes back to earth again, that there'd be a big falling away from the church. So it looks to the person that isn't even fed with milk, it looks like there's a big revival going on, but those people are the great falling away. They go to those weak-kneed churches that are, they haven't even been fed with milk. They've been fed with poison. And they think they're saved, but they're not, because they're really not doing the work of the Lord. And they're not assisting anyone that is doing the work of the Lord. They're taking in hundreds of millions of dollars and they're not spending any of it on real information in regard to the hour that they're living in. And so just look at those people. You see them on TV, and there's some of the people that you would think are so strong in the Lord, like Jan and Paul Crouch. Those people are Catholics. They're part of the Antichrist regime. Hagee is now telling everybody, oh, we should kneel down before the Pope and apologize to this ugly organization that murdered 6 million Jews and took their skin off of them and made lampshades and destroyed their babies and threw them into the ovens. And now, currently, right before television, because they want to see how hard you are, how hardened that you have become through their smutty television programs and their evil reportings. And so they murdered the people over at Waco for no reason whatsoever. And they took the babies and the young children away from their mothers in Texas. Now, you think that's all right. And because you do, you've taken the mark of the beast. You've blasphemed the Holy Spirit because you don't even have milk. You don't know what the Word of God says, and you don't really care. When anyone tells you the real word of the living God, you think that it's evil, because the beast, the cult leader in Rome, and its news media have made you believe that good, God is evil, and that Satan is good. Now, they don't use those words. They say the Bible is evil. And you have to be careful when you're reading it, because you could really do something wrong, and because you don't understand what it says. But the Lord has called me to tell you what the Word of God says, and so I'm saying it to you. For while one says that I am of Paul, and another I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? For when you say I'm a Catholic, and then another one says I'm a Baptist, aren't you carnal? You're supposed to be saying that you're of the Lord. Did you not know that? Verse 5, who then is Paul? Who then is Tony Alamo? And who is Apollos? Or who is any true Christian but ministers, messengers, by whom ye believed? Because we are just preachers. We're the ones that are, the Lord is called to rule and to bring about his kingdom in this world. His kingdom come, his will be done, not yours or the Antichrist, on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think that the Lord is would be aborting and murdering babies in heaven? Do you believe that?
No.
Do you believe that he would be having homosexuals and lesbians running around in heaven? Do you believe that?
No.
Well, then, that's not his will being done here on earth then. And the news media is ballyhooing it and just saying, well, you know, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is supposed to be a real macho dude. I've worked out right next to him over at the World Gym. When it was upstairs, he turned it into like a little bouncing thing for babies. But he says, I go along with the court's decision. Well, you took the mark of the beast too. You go along with homosexuality. What do you think? God says in heaven that he wants his will to be done here. He doesn't allow homosexuals or lesbians in heaven, or people that agree that they should, that the Supreme Court or any other court in this nation, the California Supreme Court or any other state Supreme Court, should do that. If they do, they're going to hell. Well, they're human rights. The Lord doesn't have a situation with human rights. Human rights are only rights if you keep the commandments of the Lord. I was reading to you the blessings of the Lord the other day, I think it was last night, stating that the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse. Now, if you're not getting into heaven, do you think that God's going to bless your storehouse here and in all that thou settest thine hand unto? And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, do you think God is blessing the land that we're living on right now? First of all, the land doesn't belong to you because it belongs to the Vatican. Try not to pay your taxes. We're not even supposed to have taxes anymore. Those taxes were placed upon us because this country borrowed money to fight Germany. Now, according to the Bible, that the Vatican started a war with Germany. And then they came to us, and they started a war with Japan. FDR knew very good and well that Japan was going to be bombed, and so the Vatican came and says, we'll loan you money if you want, but we're going to charge you interest. Okay. Then FDR says, okay, we'll do it. They said, well, how are we going to get our money back? How are you going to pay us? Well, we'll raise the taxes. Oh, you raise the taxes. Who's going to collect the taxes? Well, he shuffled back and forth on his club legs, his polioed up legs, and the IRS, the Vatican jumped in and says, we'll be the collection agencies. We'll call ourselves the IRS. And so we're still paying, and we're going to tax your house that you're living in. In other words, if you don't pay the taxes on your house, we're going to sell your house on the courthouse steps. How's that now? Okay, that's a deal. Well, first of all, that war happened a long time ago. Let's see, it's like around 60 years ago or longer. I am 73 years old right now, be 74 in September, and I'm bragging about it because I wouldn't want to be the stupid idiots that you people are out there. You're young and foolish. Why is it wrong to be young and foolish? It's wrong, folks, to be young and foolish. Young isn't so bad. I've got a son that's not foolish at all. He's young. But he's learning the Bible like you can't believe, and he loves to preach. He loves to do all the different things that the Lord says to do. But you're foolish, and I wouldn't trade places for any of you. I'm so happy I'm me and not one of you. You people don't know anything. Now we go back here to verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you have believed. You believe the gospel, many of you, because of me. God gave me the true message. Even as the Lord gave to every man. Even as God, the Lord, gave to every man? No, the Lord didn't give it to every man. Okay. I have planted. I planted the seed of the Word of God in you, and I've also watered. It says here, Apollos watered. We have a lot of people in our church that, well, the Lord told me they're not watering anybody. They're not teaching them anything. And I said, Lord, they're not teaching the baby Christians anything. So the Lord says, you planted the seed, now you water also. You water them. You preach the gospel to them. You tell them what I'm saying, because they're not going to. They think that there's some special breed of people, and they're trusting in you just like you trusted in Sue. And maybe I'll just take you out and leave them totally untrained. And then they're going to be in a lot of trouble because I'm going to let Satan have them. I'm going to turn Satan loose on these people that think they're Christians and that they're just going to rely on one person. People had visions of Sue and myself trying to pull, they said to us, many people, that they saw themselves, hundreds of them, sitting in bleachers and watching Sue and I do all the work. They sat and watched and played games and had birthday parties. Because they're trying to make this church of all churches a social organization. And I despise people like that. I despise them because that isn't what the gospel is all about. So I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So the Lord told me, you teach them, you preach to them, take their crowns and their stars away from them, and they will have nothing, and I'll cast them into hell. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, even though I've planted, I'm nothing. Neither he that watereth is anything, but I do it because it's a commandment of the Lord, and if I don't do it, I'm disobedient, and if I'm disobedient, I'm a witch, and the Lord will not suffer a witch to live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. So there's a bunch of witches. They hear, but they don't do. But God is the one that gives the increases. So God, to God be the glory. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Right, we're Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. But you that don't plant and you that don't water, you're not members of the body of Christ. What are you doing? You're like dead members. You don't bring forth fruit. And so the Lord is going to rip you out of the vine. You're an evil, withered up old branch. And out you go. You like to play with the little kitties, is that it? Oh, it's so much fun to play with them. Aren't they so cute? Aww. No, you're supposed to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You people talk when you're not supposed to. you are traitors. You give the people that are the head, the front runners, you give them over to Satan. And then when you fall away because of the fact, your excuse is not that you want to be homosexuals or adulterers or fornicators or on drugs again, but you say that we didn't get enough affection. Tony's not affectionate because he preaches the gospel to us. And he preaches it the way that Paul and all these people that are so hateful in the Bible. So he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Yes, we're one in the body of Christ. He's the vine, we're the branches. Anyone that doesn't bring forth fruit is, he pulls that branch out and then he burns it. And every man shall receive his own reward. Every person on this earth is going to receive a reward. And if you're not doing, if you're not in the vine, if you're not one of the branches where this life-giving spirit is flowing into, you're going to get a reward, all right, but you're not going to like it. A reward according to his own labor. You don't labor. You're not laborers. You have to trabajo. You have to arbeiten. If you don't know Spanish, I'm not Spanish. I am Jewish. And Jewish and some Italian in me, I reckon. So you've got to get a reward according to your labor. Well, we labor, but not according to what God says for you to do. You don't teach. And when you teach, you do it secretly because you're teaching wrong. And so you're already cursed. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. In other words, we're one body with God, Christ himself. We are members of his body, and therefore I preach, and I teach, and I write, and I take charge of the entire church all over the world. I go through everything. So ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, the power of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So you're building some other thing. You like to have verities and social gospel. That's not building on the proper foundation. That's not building on Christ. Christ has nothing to do with birthday parties and playing with little kids. You're still babes, you creeps. And catering after children, other than what they need to learn the gospel, they need to do what the Lord says and not be given to Barbie dolls and all this kind of garbage that has nothing to do with the gospel. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, birthday parties, playing little games, every man's work shall be made manifest, as verse 13, for the day shall declare it, the day of judgment, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work. So you're playing games of what sort it is. So one of these days, God's going to pull the rug out from underneath you and make you go through some fire. And then you'll fall. Because you have not built on the foundation of the Lord, and you're weak like women. And women are weak. like little girls. And we're going through the fire, kiddies. Verse 14, if any man's work abides, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if he works, abides, that means if your work is going to live forever in the kingdom of heaven. But you think your birthday parties are going to live there? Some people are saying, can we send gifts to our unsaved parents that are not in the church? What for? The Bible says that these things that the Lord has given this church are for the saints, not for people that are outside the church. Okay, was there more of that letter?
Yes.
Okay, let's get that over with.
For you are the alarm that is alerting humanity of the great despair and soon to be the end of the reign of human beings. This alarm precedes the trumpet, and this is your mission. May you have all the courage you need and long life. I will never stop praying to the Almighty for you and will thank him for this great man that he has sent, especially for us who are in these poor countries. I am Kanga Sylvain, a student who is getting my license in criminology at the Kokodi Abidjan campus in the Ivory Coast. I am an evangelist in charge of 15 other evangelists in my missionary district in Abidjan. At the university, I've got Christian brothers and sisters together, and we've started a witnessing group, Baptized as Resurrection, which is doing well and winning souls to the Lord. Moreover, I am conducting these same activities in two other big cities in the country, which are at Nan and Yamoussou Kro. I am also the president of the student association in my region. Being simply a student, I never go anywhere without help in my evangelizing activities. I'm asking you for French Bibles, newsletters and tracts, and everything else, such as a video projector for the Crusades. Without being abusive, I'd also like to remark that to be more organized and pursue all of these spiritual activities, my research and my master's degree in criminology, it's urgent for me to have a laptop computer.
Okay, well listen, my friend, if I were you, I wouldn't be getting involved in criminology. There isn't any time to learn that stuff. Get yourself into the Bible and get away from that sort of thing. I'm not financing anybody that's not in the gospel field. And I appreciate that you're, you know, being born again, but you have to continue on now in the Lord, for only those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Now, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now, the things that you've built, like getting computers and going to law school and all this garbage, that has to be burned away from you. So that's your work. If any man's work, that's your work, not God's work. If it said, if any God's work shall be burned, God's work is not going to be burned, but your work will be. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Okay, you're going to suffer the loss of your law school. But he himself, if you let it be burned, you'll be saved. Yet so only as by fire. Okay, my time is up, and there's so much more to teach. That's why you have to stay tuned every day to Papa Tony here, to the one that God called to teach you, make you understand. So those of you that want to let everything in your life be burned up, to just divorce yourself from it, so that you can belong to the Lord, then say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God, that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you, Lord Jesus, Holy Father God, Holy Spirit, into my heart. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. And I'm saying the former filthy sins because I have to go and sin no more. And you give me the power for that. Father, therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and you said that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, no matter how many sins we've committed. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise up your hands in praise and thank the Lord, and continue doing that to the end, and start learning how to serve the Lord. All right, share and tell everyone in Radio Land, our listening audience, how they can receive a copy of this program, number 666. 666. This one, you don't want to take that mark in your head, but receive the things that you heard on this program. These messages is free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, because I pastor all over the world. I've got churches all over the world. And I believe I can fly to the throne of God in prayer, and I stay there. We have to be sitting with Christ in heavenly places, not throwing parties. Here's Yolanda Adams. I was at her opening debut in person with H.P. Barnum, and she's really a fantastic, phenomenal singer. Standing ovations, along with Kenny G, Yolanda Adams and Kenny G, to sing for you, I Believe I Can Fly to the Throne in prayer. You can fly there too. Stay there. That's the best place and the safest place to be.
I used to think that I